Amen. Well, wow. I don't know what you guys feel where you are, but I feel the presence of the Holy Spirit right now in this place. I genuinely do, and I believe God's meeting needs and moving in your life. We're going to get to the Word for just a moment, and I'm not going to preach real long, and I mean that. I know you guys are all rolling your eyes and going, yeah, whatever, Pastor Justin. I promise I'm not going to preach long, but we are going to continue on in our series that we've been in for the last few weeks that's going to bring us all the way to Easter Sunday. We've been talking about this idea of in the beginning. We've been going back to Genesis chapter 1, looking all the way back at the beginning of how of things that God instituted and established in creation that really speak to us today about the way that God operates in our lives today and how God accomplishes his will in our lives. And we're going to continue that idea here in just a moment. But before I dig into the Word, man, again, just want to thank everybody for joining us. If you haven't done so yet, start a watch party right there through your Facebook feed. Share this broadcast, man. Invite your friends to join us. Invite your kids and husbands and wives, everybody do right now together. And I want to remind you right now, if you want to take a break right now, come back to this video later on during the day. Maybe when the kids are busy doing something else, that's fine. If your kids are going crazy. I tell you right now, in my house, I got four kids, and they've been getting pretty crazy over the last few days. But anyway, there are links right there in the description. You can go to redlifechurch.com, click on the kids tab right there at the top of the page, and there's some resources there. There's a YouTube video Bible lesson you can get on with your kids. There's a link to the Life Church Bible Kids app that you can get on. And I just want to encourage you to make this a family event today, man. Make this the Lord's Day and enjoy worshiping Jesus together with your family. So those links are either in the description or on our website at redlifechurch.com. You can go there. Also, I want to thank you for your giving. I want to thank you for your support, your tithe, and man, for helping us do what God's called us to do. It doesn't matter what seasons change. It doesn't matter what methods change. Amen. We are going to continue to be a home for freedom and encouragement because that's what God has ordained and called us to do right now and right here in our community, whether that is virtually or whether that's hand-to-hand whenever that time comes again, and it will come again in Jesus' name. Amen. This will not last forever, but man, we need your support. We need your help. We need your prayers now more than ever as we figure out how we are going to continue to do what God's called us to do and what we need to start doing to meet the needs that are available and that are manifesting right now. But all that being said, man, that's all at redlifechurch.com. You can do that. But I want to get into the Word with you guys today, and so let's dig in. Here we go. We're in Genesis. We're actually going to be in Genesis chapter 2 today. Last week, we talked about the principle of reproduction, that every life God created, when you look at the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, every life God creates, he creates within that life the ability to reproduce after its own kind. We talked about the idea that God has empowered you, God has empowered me, God has called us to reproduce, to create something with the life that he's called us to live and the life that he's created on the inside of us. Today, and this is so, the Word of God blows me away because it's so unbelievably fitting. I plan out our message series usually several months in advance. I'm usually about 3 to 4 months in advance on ideas and where I sense the Holy Spirit's taking us. So, of course, when I began this study and began to put this together, I had no idea where we would be, when it would be time to share this. But this is such an unbelievably fitting message today for where we are, because today we're going to look at the idea of in the beginning, God created function and friendship. Right there where you are, just say function and friendship, and here we go. We're going to read Genesis chapter 2, we're going to pray, and then we're going to dig in here. As we read Genesis 2, we're going to read verses 15 through 24, and understand that what's going on in Genesis 2. In Genesis 1 gives a real overview, kind of a 1,000-foot view of creation, and we go all the way to day 6, where God creates the mammals, God creates man, God creates Adam and Eve, and it's a real kind of a skim over. Genesis 2 is a more detailed look of how and when God created man on day 6 of Genesis chapter 1. Let's read that here for real quick. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15 through 24 says, "The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last the man exclaimed, this one is bone from my bone, flesh from my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now there's a lot going on there, and I'm just going to zero in on these two ideas of function and friendship today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for meeting with us wherever we are today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we look at your word today, God, that we will hear from you, that you will open our eyes, you will open our ears, and you will help us to hear from you today, God. Help us not to just, I don't want to just see some good lessons. I don't want to just get some good life morals and stories. Lord, I pray that we will have an encounter with you as we look at your word together today in Jesus' name. Right where you are, put your hand on your belly. Repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me see what you want me to see. Let me hear what you want me to hear so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you call me to be in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Years ago, I can't remember exactly how long ago it was, but years ago, I can't remember if I was still in high school or if I was in college, but it was somewhere around the end of high school, college time. But I remember this story. My dad, who many of you know, Sid Bradley, one of our elders here, my dad one day was at home. My mom was shopping all day long in Cincinnati. I don't know if you've ever shopped with my mom before, if you know women like this. You ever heard that phrase, shop till you drop? My mom is, I didn't know that was like could really happen, but actually, if you go shopping with my mom, you will shop till you drop. You don't end the day shopping until you're dead, basically. She is a shop till you drop type of shopper. And she was having one of these shop till you drop type of days over in Cincinnati. My dad was left here to his own devices. And as the story goes, my mom walked into the house with several bags from her shopping till she dropped day. And she's not here to dispute any of this, so I can just say whatever I want to today, I guess. But anyway, she literally walked in, saw my dad, gasped, dropped everything in her hand because she looked at my dad, who had decided to give himself a buzz cut for some reason. As a 50-something-year-old man decided, you know what, I'm going to give myself a buzz cut. And when asked, so for a while, he had very, very, very short hair. And when asked what happened, he said, I was just left alone. Bev, you left me alone for far too long. I got bored and I started playing with the Clippers. And that's what happened. And so for a while, my dad had a buzz cut. And the moral of that is this. Listen, when man is left alone too long, bad things happen. Bad haircuts, buzz cuts, projects start in the house that should never get started. And that's why God said it's not good for man to be alone. And I think what's really fitting and what's really ironic about this moment that we're in, as many of you are isolating, quarantining, staying away from people, as we've been asked to do, as we know is the wise thing to do to help stop the community spread and to protect those that are most vulnerable to this pandemic that's touching us right now. Some of you guys right now are finding yourselves missing something, missing a couple of things that you probably have spent a lot of time complaining about, and that is your job, and that is people. Okay, how many people have a job that you're like, man, I just wish I couldn't, I just can't stand this job. And a lot of times that job has to do with people. I've said this about places I've worked, man, this job would be great if it wasn't for the people. But now after a few days, maybe a couple of weeks in isolation, maybe some time away from that job, you find yourself pining. You find yourself wanting to get back to that place of work that causes so much stress and so much frustration. You find yourself missing the contact. with people, some of those very same people that bug you and annoy you and bug the crap out of you. Man, you're wishing that there was somebody right now to bug you and to annoy you. You've been annoyed by the people in your family for far too long. You need someone else to annoy you now. You understand? And it's amazing how just a few days without something that we sometimes complain about or take for granted will make us pine for that, will make us long for that. And the reason for that is this, that in creation, listen, God created you at your very core with the desire and the innate need for function and for friendship, for job, for work, and to do that job with and around other people. Let's talk about function for just a second. You see this in creation, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, and in verse 19 and 20, God created man with a job to do. God created Adam. Before he even created Adam, he already had a job lined up for him to do. That job was to tend the garden, and then he also gave him another task. He said, I'm going to bring all the animals to you. You name all the animals in verse 19 and 20. That was Adam's job. Adam's job when he was created to tend the garden and to name the animals. He was basically, we could break that down to say that he was called and created to steward and to speak. To steward and to speak. Now, we all have different jobs. We all have different titles. We have different functions. We have different giftings. We have different things that God has ordained and called us to do. But if you were to shrink that all down, I bet you that whatever your job is, whatever your title is, whatever you do, whatever your function that you have discovered that God has called you to do, I bet you can break it down into some form of stewardship and speaking. Stewarding and speaking. We are created, our function, it has to do with stewarding, taking care of the creation that God has placed in our hands. He created Adam and then he said, here's the garden. He said, I want you to take care of it. I want you to tend it. I want you to steward it. I want you to take care of what I've put in your hands. Every single one of you, God has something that he has placed in your hand, and my job is to be a good steward of it. My job is to take care of it. Listen, my job, when I talk about stewardship, means that I am to make something of whatever I have, whatever God puts in my hand. You think back to Jesus in the New Testament in the parable of the talents. Jesus, the Bible says that a ruler gave one 5 talents, gave one 2 talents, gave one talent. And then the master came back sometime later. The one who he gave the 5 to, he had made another 5 and came back with 10. The one he gave the 2 to, the one he gave the 2 to, he came back with 2 more and said, you gave me 2 and I've got 4. The one he came with 1, however, the one with the 1 said, I got afraid and I buried that one thing you gave me. And here's the one thing you gave me back. And the Bible says that the master was upset. And Jesus says, just like this is how God expects. God wants us, he said, God wants us to do something with what he's given us. Listen, it doesn't matter if you've got 5, doesn't matter if you start with 2, doesn't matter if you start with 1. My job is to take whatever God's put in my hand, be a good steward of it, and make something with it. That does a couple of amazing things. One thing it does is it frees me from looking at my neighbor and being jealous and comparing what I have to him and going, well, if I just had the 5, I would do something with it. That's not my job. My job is to say, God, whatever garden you've placed me in, whatever thing you've placed in my hand, I'm going to be a good steward of that thing, and I'm going to make something out of it. Whether it's 5, whether it's 2, whether it's 1, man, I'm going to be a good steward. The other thing we're called to do is to speak the life of God over those things that he's placed in our hands. The Bible says that he told Adam to be a good steward, to tend the garden, and then he gave him all of the fish, all of the animals, all of the birds came to Adam, and the Bible says that Adam named each and every one. Adam tapped into the image of God, God who spoke everything into existence, and then God made man in his image, and God said, now Adam, I want you to do what I did, and I want you to use your creative power of your words, my life on the inside of you, and speak my life over the things that I bring your way. We're called to steward and to speak. Listen, right now in this time is really important for you to speak the life of God over your family, over your home, over your situation, over your finances, over the things that God's placed in your hand. I want to encourage you right now, like never before, speak the life of God. Speak the word of God. Declare that God's word over your situation. Steward and speak. That is my function. That's what I've been called to do. That's what I've been created to do. We are created with function, with a job, and that job involves stewarding and speaking. Amen. Say, I'm going to steward and I'm going to speak. Say it again. I'm going to steward and I'm going to speak. That's right. We're going to do it just like we always do right here, man, right there in your house. I'm going to steward and I'm going to speak. Now, let me just say this one thing else about function, and we're going to move on to friendship. Whatever that function is, whatever that steward and speaking is, whatever you've been called to make something out of, whatever you've been called to speak over in your life. Listen, it may not be a church. We all have different jobs. We all have different things to do. Whatever the thing is that God has called you to, listen to me. Here's the function. Here's the ultimate goal of what we're supposed to do. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever I do, whatever I steward, whatever I speak over, I should be doing all of that to bring glory to Jesus, to point people to Jesus in whatever I do. So whatever you do, do that same thing. Let that be our heart. Let that be our job. Let that be our function. God, I'm going to be the best mom and the best dad for the glory of God and for my kids. I'm going to be the best school teacher for the glory of God. I'm going to be the best firefighter for the glory of God. I'm going to be the best businessman and entrepreneur for the glory of God. Amen, somebody. Listen, function is to bring glory to God in whatever I steward and whatever I speak over in Jesus' name. The second thing God created here when he creates man in Genesis 2, not only did he create us with a job to do, not only created us for function, but he created you and I for friendship. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone, so I will make a helper for him. Think about this. All throughout Genesis chapter 1, God created light. He said what? It was good. Genesis chapter 2, God creates the expanse between the heavens and the earth and the water and the sky, and he said it was good. All the way down through day 6, he creates man. He says, it is good, it is good, it is good. However, the only thing in creation that God said was not good is this right here, man alone. The only thing in the entire creation account of Genesis 1 and 2 that God looked at and said, that's not good, is man left alone. I want you to think about the impact and what that means. It means that God, from the beginning, recognized that we are not designed to be alone. We were created with friendship. Man left alone, bad haircuts happen. Man left alone, bad home remodeling projects happen that you have no skill or business doing on your own. You understand what I'm saying? Man left alone is not good. It is not how God has called us to operate. Amen, somebody? We still good? We lost our feed? All right, we're going to continue. And we will just upload this video later. So let me finish. What you can do is restart the feed, Eric. If not, just keep going. If you don't know how, just let it go, okay? The only thing not good is man left alone, all right? Listen, when God brings the animals to Adam, God brings the animals, excuse me, to Adam. And one thing that he says after he names all the animals, he says it was apparent that there was no partner suitable to him. Now think about it. God creates the animals. He creates them male and female. So Adam is seeing that each created thing has, in fact, a partner, has, in fact, somebody with him, has, in fact, a partner to go through life with. And Adam looks at that and goes, man, none of these are suited for me. The dog has another dog. The fish has another fish, but I don't have anybody else. What God was doing is God was letting Adam recognize that he was alone so that his heart would be ready to receive the just right friendship, the just right partnership that God was about to bring into his life. Let me say that to you. Listen, you need to understand this. Listen, some of you right now, might be going through a season that God is beginning to show you that some of the relationships aren't right. That there may be some friendships that just aren't right, that just aren't functioning the way God wants them to. What you need to understand is that when God begins to show you that the relationships that you've been involved in, the relationships around you aren't right, then what that means is that God is he's showing you that to prepare your heart so that you understand, man, I need the right partner, I need the right friend, I need the right people around me in my life. When God shows you the people around you aren't right, you know what he's doing? He's getting ready to create and to bring the right partnership in your life. He's getting ready to bring the right people into your life. So let me encourage you, friend, don't settle for the wrong relationships. That means romantically, that means friend-wise, that means partners in business. Don't settle when the thing ain't right, and let God bring the right people into your life. Because when the right people come into your life, then you begin to function the way God's created you to function, with function, job, and friendship. Amen? If you're saying to yourself right now, man, I need the right friends, man. I'm so left alone. Here's what you need to understand. Listen, both function and friends. Maybe you're also searching, wondering, God, what am I here to do? What am I supposed to be doing? Listen to me. Both your function and your friends, listen, both of them begin with God. Both function and friends begin with God. Okay? We say that again. Function and friends begin with God. They come from God. So if I want to find my function, because God created my function, God created my job to do, God created my purpose, if I want to find that, where do I need to go? I need to go to Jesus. I need to go to God. If I want to find the right relationships, if I want to find the right friendships, if I want to find the right people that God's called alongside me to do that function, guess what? I've got to go to Jesus. I've got to go to God. They came from God. They begin with God. They start with God. Everything, again, in the beginning, God. Everything starts with God, including your relationships and including the call and the purpose and the function that God has created you to operate with on this earth. It all starts with God. So if I want to find my function and if I want to find my friends, guess what? I've got to go to God. I've got to do that. And how do I do that? Well, it's real simple. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life. And if you want to get to God, you come through the door of Jesus Christ. How do I find my purpose, my creative function in life? It's through relationship with Jesus. How do I find the right people that God's called to walk alongside me in this life? It's through relationship with Jesus. Can you have a relationship with Jesus? Can you know this Jesus that we've been talking about? Friend, you absolutely can. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, Jesus came to this earth, lived a life that every one of us are called and commanded by Scripture according to the law of the Old Testament to live, lived a life of sinless perfection that because of sin none of us can ever hold up to. Then he took one step further. Not only did he live the life that we were called to live and commanded to live, but he then took the punishment and the death that every one of us because of sin deserved to die. And friend, he did that for you. He did that for me. And right now, you can begin a relationship with Jesus by receiving and accepting what he already has done for you and accomplished for you 2,000 years ago on the cross, by surrendering your heart, your past, your present, and your future, and saying, God, I give up. I give all of that to you. And I receive your sacrifice for me on the cross right now. And I know that can seem like, well, you say, is it really that simple? Is it really that easy? Well, it is that simple. Some parts of it may not be easy. It's a lifelong journey and a lifelong process. But you can start it today. Right now, wherever you're listening to this, I know our live broadcast may have been interrupted, so we're going to upload this later. But man, I want to encourage you right now. Right now. Listen, if you feel like your chest is pounding and your heart's beating fast, you know what? That's probably a real good indicator that the Holy Spirit, God himself, It's calling you, talking to you, drawing you, saying, let's start over. Let's start fresh. Begin to follow Jesus today. Well, Pastor, I don't know enough scripture. I don't know enough of the. I can't explain all that. Listen, you don't have to know about it all to say, you know what? I'm going to receive the first step. I'm going to begin a fresh life with Jesus today. Like never before, you may be recognizing in this season, man, I need something greater than myself. That thing that you need, that you're looking for, friend, he has a name. It's Jesus. And he's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He's not punishing you. He loves you. And he's doing everything he can to reach out his arms to you and say, man, let's walk together. Let me walk through this life with you. Let me begin to discover. Let me begin to reveal to you your function. Let me begin to bring the right friends in your life. Starting with Jesus. So right now, wherever you are, what's going on? If they want to pray, I'm going to lead you in a prayer, and then we're going to pray together. Maybe if you're wherever you are right now, you want to say, man, I need to accept Jesus. I need to accept Jesus. Man, I want to encourage you, man. Send us an email. Go to our website, reallifechurch.com. If you're praying this prayer, maybe for the first time or maybe for a new time to begin again, to start again. Maybe you used to serve Jesus and you're like, man, you kind of left it. You kind of went your own way, have done your own thing, man, but something's calling you back right now. That's awesome. We celebrate that with you, man, and we're excited for that. Send us an email. Shoot me a text. Find me on Facebook. And let's chat. Let's talk. Let's pray together. But man, let's pray that right now. I want to give you an opportunity to pray that prayer. I want to encourage you to do it out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. And pray with me. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now just like I am. Lord, I'm a sinner. I've committed sins. I've messed up and I've done wrong and I haven't followed you. I haven't trusted you. But I believe that you're the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and you did that for me. And I ask you to forgive me. Help me to follow you from this moment on. Help me to trust you from this moment on. Lord, I give you my past, give you my future, and I give you my present, my right now in this moment. In Jesus' name, help me to live for you every single moment for the rest of my life. Amen and amen. Man, right now, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says heaven is rejoicing with you, and so am I. Man, I'd love for you to reach out to me. Shoot me up. Shoot me a text on Facebook. Shoot us an email. So, man, if you have any questions at all about what just happened or what's going on, man, we love to pray with you. We love to connect with you. We love to be there with you. Amen. We got a couple of prayer requests we're going to pray over, and then we're going to end this video. Again, I apologize if that looks like our live feed. Something happened there, but we're going to work on that. But right now, we're going to pray. We're going to pray over our community. We're going to pray over everyone that's sick. We're going to pray over everyone that's worried. I'm going to pray over every financial situation in people's lives that are dealing with loss of income. And we're going to pray specifically for our family here, families here in the community. We know that there's a family from Laurel that lost their lives due to the flooding this past weekend. And we're just going to pray God's peace be upon them in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, Lord, we lift up, God, let's lift up right now that family, Lord, the Lewis family, anybody connected to them, God, the friends of some of the kids, Lord, in the school, God, let's pray right now for your supernatural peace that passes all understanding. Lord, you promised to comfort us when we mourn. And Lord, I ask you to do that right now. Everyone that's been touched by this loss and this tragedy, God, in multiple families, Lord, there were several people that woke up to go to work one morning and all of a sudden something happened, tragedy struck through this flood. Lord God, I just ask you to be with them. Be with them, Lord. Be with the EMS workers and the rescue workers that spent hours searching the rivers, Lord God. And God, as they're processing what they've been through emotionally, Lord, I ask you to touch them, Father, right now. Lord, I ask you to be with our nurses, our doctors, our healthcare workers, our CNAs, Lord, everybody that God is being around, people that are being infected, God, and they still have to go to work. They still have to put their faces on. They still have to do their job. Lord, I pray you keep them healthy, keep them protected, Lord. Just let a hedge of protection just surround them, Father. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to keep them safe, keep their families safe. Lord, anyone that's sick right now in our community, I ask you to touch them. God, especially those that are contracted this virus, Lord, I ask you to bring healing to them, Father, in Jesus' name. And Heavenly Father, I just ask you, God, to do a supernatural work in their lives. Lord, those that are losing jobs and income right now as businesses close down and businesses change hours and more isolation and more quarantine happens, Father. Lord, I ask you right now to just let your presence gird them up right now, Father. I pray you bring supernatural provision to them, Lord. And I pray that you open their ears to hear your voice. God, as you lead them, you might lead some of them to do something radical. You might lead some of them to some new ideas and some new opportunities. Lord, I pray, God, that you help them to be led by the Spirit during this time, Father, in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, I just ask you, God, to continue to touch our church family. God, continue to help us, Lord, to preach the gospel. Lord, touch all of our churches, God, in this community that are preaching the gospel today. And Lord, trying to figure these things out, God, navigate these times. Lord, I pray over every one of my pastors, friends, God, here in this community, God. Lord, I pray you touch them, Father. Be with them, lead them, give them wisdom, Father, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, I pray that we will never again, God, forgive us, forgive me, if I've ever taken for granted, Lord, the function and the job that you've created me for and the friends and the people that you've placed in my life. God, I pray that all of us, God, will have a newfound appreciation for our function and our friendship that you've created us for, in Jesus' name. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your presence being with us today. Amen.